name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What a great time of the year Epiphany is. Here on the other side of Christmas, the revelation of Jesus for who he really is and why it all matters so very, very much. Baptized by John in the Jordan, Son of Israel, Son of God, come to fulfill all righteousness, come to fulfill all history. What a difference it makes. He makes all the difference in the world. And none too soon. Just when January is upon us, and all the hope and all the hype of peace on earth, goodwill toward men, is replaced by a good dose of reality. Record days of death in Iraq. 8 to 10, I was told. 8 to 10 years it will take until our own Gulf War zone, from East Texas to Mississippi, is anywhere near normal. Just when our wanting turns back to waiting, when everyone else is taking the lights down, God lights up the world. And now the story really takes off. Israel was waiting patiently. The Old Testament people had a steady perspective, a patient perspective about God's time and God's timing. They knew his presence in the here and now, and they knew his plan for the future. But in the time of the prophet Isaiah, Judah and Israel too had lost a sense of this patient perspective. In the first half of the 8th century BC, they had learned to live for the now. They had a certain amount of peace on earth, and with it prosperity, though goodwill to men was a little harder to come by. In those days, God had to remind them of the darkness, to take away the false lights and the flashy lights, and remind them of the darkness. The self-centeredness of even God's people had to be changed. Do that divine 180 into humble repentance. And the confidence of an arrogant king and of his kingship had to be transformed into a suffering servant. And so they waited. A people walking in darkness, even sitting in darkness. Maybe like coal miners trapped in a living tomb, gradually dying in the dark. It certainly could not have seemed fair. Where is the justice in all of this? Why do bad things continue to happen to presumably such good people? Why do the nations rage against us? Why is victory so hard to come by? Why do even the people of God seem so powerless, so insignificant, losing their respect, their status, their credibility before the nations, even in our nation? Assyria has destroyed Israel, and the Babylonians will come to take Judah. What will become of us? Sitting in darkness. Justice is a tricky business. Even in a legal system that is so designed to protect the innocent that we sometimes protect the guilty. Our own TV programming these days has moved beyond Law and Order to a new show called Injustice. It's funny, isn't it, how those who want justice done are rarely the guilty. in humble acknowledgement of our sin before God, we really don't want justice. We want mercy. Behold my servant, God says, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I myself delight, the only one fully acceptable to me, the only one who can make you acceptable to me. Behold my servant. He will bring forth justice, Isaiah declares, justice to the nations. Calmly, quietly, yes, through innocent suffering and death, God works his divine justice. There, in the midst of seeming injustice, he is God's justice, God's justification that makes us, declares us just. And that is God's mercy. Just when we thought the darkness could overcome it, just when the light was going away, God lights up the world. Thus says the God, Isaiah puts it. Thus says the God, Yahweh, who creates the heavens, who gives breath to the people and spirit, his life-giving spirit to those walking on it, even those sitting in darkness. I am Yahweh. Remember me? That is my name, to be remembered for all generations. I have called you in righteousness, to fulfill all righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you, and I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations. To the nations, that's us. We Gentiles, Johnnies, come lately to the promises of Israel. We too can identify with the darkness. We too have seen the light. And suddenly it all looks different. Jesus has come, and he changes everything. He makes all the difference in the world. And so St. Mark takes us from our patient waiting, and boy, does he pick up the pace. Now the story really takes off. Mark flies right past Christmas and gets us straightway deep into Epiphany. Immediately, we are at the baptism of our Lord. Before we've even put the manger scene away, Jesus comes from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, he saw the heavens opening, the Spirit of the Lord, the voice of God. This is my beloved, the only one who is acceptable to me, who can please me, who can fulfill all righteousness. This is God's justice. This is God's mercy. The waiting is over. Israel's servant has come. Jesus takes our place. Jesus stands in for us, in the water, for Israel, for all nations, for you. And this changes everything. Oh, we are still waiting. Some things never seem to change. Don't lose your patient perspective in God's time. The world is still filled with darkness. Perhaps this year less law and order, more injustice. But God has picked up the pace. The story has taken off. Christmas is over. Now let's get on with it. Baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus, we too are called to be a light, to the nations, to open eyes that are blind, to bring out from the doom those who sit in darkness, not just in January, but until he comes again. And that Advent, the other side of Christmas, that Advent, that second Advent, will change everything. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.